There are some contexts in which it is hard to ignore that you are being called. A number of years ago, before I had kids, and I make that distinction because I still knew everything about being a parent then, I was shopping at Wegmans one day, and one mom was struggling in particular with her rambunctious son. And on this day, he seemed to be channeling some sort of superpower to push every button that mom had. And he was getting all kinds of redirections and corrections, and it seemed to be they were kind of tracking in the same part of the store that I was the whole time. And the thing that was particularly distracting was that every time his mom raised her voice, and she used that voice that I guess they must teach in mom school, because it's just very distinct, every time she raised her voice, she used her son's name. And so in that tone that can only come from mom, I was stopped in my track again and again at the call of, "Matthew, will you cut it out? Matthew, get back over here. Matthew, you're in real trouble now." By the time I was done with my shopping, I was oddly motivated to start behaving much better. And to this day, I have yet to run away from my mom in Wegmans. It was a very profound call in my life on that day. Jesus offers each of us a profound call, a call to us by name to follow after him. And as we talk about our vision statement today, I need to mention something that maybe you wonder or maybe it hasn't yet been in your mind, but it has to do with our mission statement, which is following Jesus together, sharing him with others. And as we step forward, that remains to be our mission statement. And so the way that mission and vision statements work for organizations and for churches in particular is the mission really doesn't change. You know, our mission is essentially another way of saying Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And so that'll continue to be our guide. But what a vision statement does is it helps us to see, well, what will it look like in these next steps for us as a congregation to live into the mission statement? So again, the mission statement doesn't change, but the vision statement will remain for a season. And so this particular season, we will look to the words that God has given us through his vision in our vision statement to help us see, well, what will it look like to follow Jesus together, sharing him with others? So the interesting thing about the idea of call that I want us to look at today is that a call is not forced. Jesus does not make us follow him. It's an invitation that he gives us. But just because God does not make us follow him doesn't mean that God doesn't really care if we follow him or not. This is not something that God is dispassionate about. There is no other call in our lives that is more important than answering the call to follow Jesus. Verse 1 in Ephesians 4 invites us to something powerful as it relates to the call that God has given all of us to follow Jesus. Paul is writing to the church from prison, and he compels us to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. What does it mean in this passage to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received? In verse 2, Paul jumps right into talking about relationships with other Christians. It is one of the primary ways that we live a life worthy of this calling. So to live a life worthy of the calling, we are to, as Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so while the vision team wasn't necessarily looking to copy Ephesians 4, it was one of the passages that we looked at very seriously, along with some other scriptures, to lead us in this work. And you'll notice that within the statement, you'll see building relationships plays an important part in both halves of the vision that God has given us. You'll also see as you look and as we spend time in the months ahead looking at this vision statement that the vision God has given us is centered specifically in the first half around what we do together within Christian community. In very specifically, we see that there are three actions that we are to be about as we respond to the call to follow Jesus together. And we see there that this call is to worship, building relationships, and digging deep into the Scripture. And again, we'll spend plenty of time in this season ahead looking at each of those and looking to Scripture to be inspired around those. But what I want to hold up to us today about those three things is that as we live into this call to follow Jesus, or as we live into the second half that reminds us that we are to go out, that living a life that is worthy of the call is not a simple task. So if we see that, well, worship, build relationships, digging into the Scripture, okay, yeah, I can do that. In a lot of ways, I am doing that. And certainly that is something that as a church we have a history of. But it's not as if the vision team said, well, what is kind of the simplest thing that we're already doing that we can call each other to? That was not the plan. That was not how we went about this work. The team sought God deeply for who Jesus is asking us to become increasingly more as we live this life together. And so while we certainly have already been a community where worship, building relationships, and digging deep into the Scriptures happens on a regular basis for us as a community, we also believe that God is calling us to commit more deeply to each of these areas in our lives as disciples. And I believe that God will bless us unbelievably if we commit ourselves anew to these things in this next season of our life together. You'll notice that the purpose of these activities is stated in what follows after the three activities, that there is a purpose for the reason that God calls us to be together. There's a purpose for what happens in our lives as we worship and build relationships with other Christians and as we study the Scriptures together. As we live our lives together, we do it with a purpose so that each person grows to maturity. And that peace certainly comes from this passage in Ephesians 4, and specifically verse 13, although we see it mentioned in some other ways in these verses. But in verse 13, we see held up as the purpose of our faith in Christ in these journeys that we take as Christians, that we would have unity in the faith, in maturity. These are Scripture's stated goals for us as those who respond to the call of Jesus and live within a church community. The Holy Spirit will lead us to working for maturity in Christ, not only in our own lives as believers, but in the lives of others as we follow Jesus together. So I've already said one thing about calling is that God does not force it upon us. And as we continue to think about this call today, I encourage you to really try to get your heart around the challenge that this will be as we live into this vision. That this isn't just simply something that we're going to put on the wall or invite you to put on your refrigerator, but this is a statement that can lead and guide us deeper, that there is challenge in this. This is not simply the status quo. And because of that, I want us to as we think about the real challenge it will be to live this, I also want us to hear the important encouragement that Paul has for us in these verses about the challenge it is to live within the Christian community, the way that God works in us to bring us to maturity. And so in verses 7 and 8, it tells us that, But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. You are called, but you are not without resource for this call in your life. Living a life worthy of the call that Christ has given you is an impossible task. It is not something you can go out on your own strength and do. The way Jesus calls us to follow is not something that we can do with just a little bit of help. In our spare time, like a project that we tinker with when we have the occasion to do it. And so Jesus knows this, that this call to be mature in him is serious lifetime work. And as Paul tells us here, Jesus gives us the gifts we need in order to respond to the call in this way. So while maturity on our own effort is impossible, with God all things are possible. And by the gift of Jesus, we can live a life that is worthy of the call that he has given us. Jesus will never ask anything of us that he isn't prepared to help us with. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but the raw materials in the help that we need to live in such a way will always be there for us as a gift from our God. So part of this gift is more than just a spiritual strength. Yes, grace compels us to do things within our hearts and helps us to set our minds on things, but the Holy Spirit doesn't only empower us from within. We see that the gift of grace also comes to us in the form of other people. And so in verses 11 and 12, we specifically hear this. And this is in response to the gift that Christ has given us. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service. So not only does God give us the strength in the grace that we need to live into this call, but he also connects us within this call. You are not alone in trying to figure out what it means to live the Christian life. And so I want to pause here on this idea of calling to just take a step back, because I think this communicates something powerful about God's love for us that maybe we take so much for granted we would otherwise miss. This call to follow Jesus is absolutely a lofty one. But if Paul is speaking the truth here, and I absolutely believe there is no question in that, that Jesus gives us specific gifts through the leadership of the church as a gift to help us live a life that is worthy of the call. And so we see a number of positions listed here, but one of them specifically is pastors. And so God loves you so much and wants to see you succeed in living into this call that he has given you the gift of pastors. Now, I don't say this in some egotistical way. I want you to know that I pray often, and I hope that you do as well, that God would make me a better pastor today. That is something that I'm constantly in need of God's grace for. So I'm not saying, well, what a gift I am to you. You should be so thankful. No, that's not what I'm trying to communicate. But there are so many ways that God could empower us as Christians, particularly by the gift of this book, that we could potentially live without the church in our life. But that was not God's will. And so God cares enough about us and our growth in living into this call, that he would gift us not just with pastors, but with teachers and evangelists, that he would gift us with these offices within the church to help us to grow. I think this shows incredible care by God for us as Christians. When I responded to my call to follow Jesus, there are any number of ways that I might have served God and given him glory in my vocational life. Now, I'm not saying I could have been a doctor or the president, but there are a lot of things with the gifts God has given me that I could have done, and yet I knew clearly throughout my journey that not only God had blessed me by the work of pastors in my life, but I began to hear more and more the call of the Spirit to say, I want you to build into other people's lives in the same way I have built into your life through the call of pastoral ministry. And so we each have our own calls. We are not all called to be pastors. But as God gifts us with grace and doesn't leave us alone in this calling, we see how much God cares for us. And again, it's not just pastors or teachers or the other offices that we see listed here by Paul that God uses in the lives of others. And so we saw in these last couple verses that we heard today, the invitation that is for all of us as it comes to living out this call. So as we are called, we shouldn't just say, wow, God loves me and calls me to follow him. We need to understand that there's responsibility when we say yes to the call of Jesus in our life. A responsibility for other Christians in not just our own walk in faith. So again, I want us to hear verses 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Saying yes to the call of Jesus in your life to follow him means that you have a responsibility in supporting the work of Christ in this world. That comes in our service within the church to other Christians, and that also comes in our service to those who are outside of the faith, outside of the church. We are all responsible for what God is up to around here. And so remember, not just in our vision statement, but as Paul clearly states here in Ephesians 4, the goal of our faith is Christian maturity. John Wesley talked about this as Christian perfection, that's not being snobby, that's not looking down on others, but that's the way that God calls us, to not just say, okay, I have faith and my life is a little better than if I wasn't a Christian, but that we are called to continue to grow and to mature step by step until this work is completed, until either on this side of eternity or most likely we wait until the next. But it's this process of growth, of always wanting to mature in our faith. And this cannot be done in isolation. You cannot live a life worthy of the call without the gift of the church in your life. And not only is the gift of church a way that God will work in your life, but the gift of the church is the way that God will also work through your life. Because others cannot fully live into the call unless you are faithful to your own call. Other followers of Jesus need you just as much as they need a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. You are part of how God is looking to bring each of us to maturity in Christ. You are called, but are you listening? So I share the story of being in Wegmans and hearing my name called again and again by the mom who was trying to help her son know the appropriate way to behave. And as I thought today about ignoring the call, I thought of another story from when I was in middle school. My best friend at the time, Eric, lived a couple doors down. And so we often spent time at each other's houses. And now, I came from an Irish family, so fighting was not something that was that I never saw. I also grew up in Greece, so there were a lot of Italian kids in my classes, and so I was in the household of Italians a lot. So I would see families kind of fight in love in a lot of settings. But I had been best friends with Eric for a while when his grandparents came to visit. And I was wondering in the first 5 minutes of meeting his grandparents if I would be called as a witness to a homicide trial eventually with the way that these two fought with each other. And so I said something to Eric about this, and knowing that they had just driven 5 hours in a car from the Adirondacks together, I really wondered how this relationship played itself out. And so he shared with me the secret that his grandfather had told him, that whenever they get in the car, and particularly for a long journey, his grandfather would immediately after starting the car reach up and turn both hearing aids off. Now, I'm not offering that as marital advice from the pulpit today. What I'm holding that up is an example of the way that we can ignore our call. And so God has a call for each of us, not only to follow after Jesus, but he gives us a responsibility then, as the way we live that call out in following Jesus, to live within the community of the church as we see through the vision that God has given us. And so my question for each of us today and for these next steps as we go forward as a congregation, will you hear the call that we see within this vision God has given us? Or will we figuratively within our spirits reach up and turn off the hearing aids and pretend that we don't hear what God is calling us to? Part of the beauty of the way that God calls is that he will never force us to follow. So will you hear what God has for you? What God has for us? Or will you ignore the specifics of that call? United in Christ is how this vision begins that God has given us. And there is literally no more significant of an act than gathering at the table of Christ to remind us not only are we united in him, but to remind us that we are united in our brokenness. And it is not by responding to the call and behaving good enough that we find ourselves worthy of God's grace, but it's admitting that we aren't perfect. It's an admitting that we need forgiveness. It's an admitting that we have fallen down this past week and need to come before Christ once again, the one who loves us and meets us in all circumstance. And so, on that night in which